From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. The war in Afghanistan is said to be the longest war in American history, lasting two decades. But as images surfaced of Afghan civilians clinging to Air Force planes at the Kabul airport on Sunday, it was clear that the fate of Afghanistan and its people is now back in the hands of the Taliban. Yesterday, President Joe Biden addressed the nation, defending his decision to withdraw troops from Afghanistan.
We went to Afghanistan almost 20 years ago with clear goals. Get those who attacked us on September 11, 2001, and make sure al-Qaeda could not use Afghanistan as a base from which to attack us again. We did that. We severely degraded al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. We never gave up the hunt for Osama bin Laden, and we got him. That was a decade ago. Our mission in Afghanistan was never supposed to have been nation-building. It was never supposed to be creating a unified, centralized democracy. Our only vital national interest in Afghanistan remains today what it has always been, preventing a terrorist attack on America's homeland.
Biden went on to catalog the ways in which he says the U.S. military helped the government of Afghanistan build up its own army and air force.
But if Afghanistan is unable to mount any real resistance to the Taliban now, there is no chance that 1 year, 1 more year, 5 more years, or 20 more years, the U.S. military boots in the ground would have made any difference.
This is something that's being watched by people from Afghanistan who are living in Illinois, by veterans who serve there, and by others with interest in just foreign affairs. We asked our 21st show texting group and listeners to share their thoughts on the situation. We'll be reading those messages and hearing some voice memos we got from you throughout the show. You can also join our conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. Do you think the U.S. made the right decision to withdraw when it did? What was your reaction to the news that the Taliban had overtaken Kabul? Maybe you're a former service member. We'd love to hear from you. 800-222-9455. We're also joined now by someone who's been studying this region for many years. Marvin Weinbaum served as an analyst for Pakistan and Afghanistan in the U.S. Department of State's Bureau of Intelligence and Research from 1999 to 2003. He's currently director for Afghanistan and Pakistan Studies at the Middle East Institute in Washington, and he's an emeritus professor of political science at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. Marvin, thank you so much for joining us, and I guess I should say welcome back to Illinois.
Thank you, even if it's only remotely.
Even remotely, yes. So what was your reaction to the news that Kabul had come under Taliban control?
Well, I think everyone was surprised. Even those of us who thought we were experts on the subject, it was something no one anticipated that it was going to happen this quickly. Certainly there was every reason to believe that there was going to be resistance. But once the momentum had built and it really went rapidly downhill for the security forces, and they just simply thought that for their own security as well as their families, they were well advised to either surrender or to disappear. It's a great surprise. What it leaves us is to reassess a great deal of what we had believed about the defense forces and indeed our own role there. And I understand why so many people are now so focused on that.
Yeah, and so I mentioned a moment ago that we asked our members of our texting group to share their thoughts on the situation there. And we received this message from Kathy in Champaign County, who says, one, they had fair warning. Two, they had 20 years to learn to fight for their rights. Three, they had 20 years to take advantage of American riches, and now they're crying foul. And four, if they truly wanted a democracy, they would grow a backbone and fight for it. End quote. I mean, that's a much more stark way of saying a version of what we heard President Biden, though, saying, that we gave them every chance. And boots on the ground wouldn't have made a difference. What do you think of that comment that this was the inevitable outcome?
I think
outcome?
We did make a difference. We were there for 20 years, and 20 years when there were no attacks on the United States or or on for the most part, in Europe as well. It's not that we didn't accomplish anything in the 20 years. We had. I disagree with the president's decision for this reason. We had not lost for the last 2 years, we had not lost any combat soldiers. For the last 6 years, I believe the number is 96. So we're not talking about, and this is when we had more boots on the ground there, and they were not in combat since 2014. It was very, very possible that we could keep with a minimum of investment there. We could keep a force on the ground that would not be able to solve the problems of Afghanistan, but at least avoid the worst of all possible outcomes. Now, if you think that that's not good enough, remember that we have forces all around the world. They're involved in what are known as stability operations. Of course, the best known of these are in South Korea. If we were to withdraw our 30,000 or so troops from North Korea, we know that the outcome there would be one that none of us would find very pleasant. Here, we had every reason to believe that once we decided to leave, and that's indeed what happened, we would really pulling the plug from under their forces. Even though we were not committed in terms of manpower, we were providing intelligence, we were providing logistics, training with contractors doing a very important job of maintaining their equipment. So I guess what I'm getting at here is that there was a kind of sweet spot here for us where we could really maintain enough on the ground there so that it would be stable and we would not see the kind of outcome that we've seen now. Again, we wouldn't solve the problems, but we would buy time for them. And that's what we do in our stability operations everywhere. I know it doesn't sound very attractive to most people to say it's just maintaining a bad status quo, but we often have to ask ourselves, if you don't like what you have now, would you really want to see what might happen if we did something else?
Yeah, the opposite thing happening. Okay, let me take a moment to reintroduce Marvin Weinbaum is with us. He's director of Afghanistan and Pakistan Studies at the Middle East Institute, emeritus professor at the U of I Urbana-Champaign, and was an analyst at the State Department Bureau of Intelligence and Research from 1999 to 2003, which is, of course, when America went into Afghanistan after 9/11. And I want to go to now to a voicemail we got from a listener. And listeners, I should say, if you want to join us, 800-222-9455 is the number. But Joe in Urbana sent us this voicemail, and it kind of touches on this idea that Afghanistan is a complicated country. There are a lot of different tribal factions there, and maybe America miscalculated whether or not Afghanistan could be united in a push toward democracy.
Hello, this is Joe from Havana. There was never really going to be a good time to leave Afghanistan. Afghanistan is a difficult country, and I think we sometimes want someone to blame. I mean, the Trump administration said we were leaving in May, we're leaving in August. However, let's look at the politics of Afghanistan. Afghanistan is a country that has so many different ethnic groups and conflicting groups that we never really got into the minutiae of dealing with those groups. We wanted to train a military, but we trained a military in our style, an American style, and that's not what Afghanistan needed. I can go on forever, but let's leave it where it is. We'll figure it out.
So I wonder if you can react to that. I mean, do you think of Afghanistan as a country? Is it a construct of a map maker in the United Kingdom 100 years ago? How do you think of it?
No. Look, it has for a long time not been very much of a state, but it is a nation. You know, it's interesting with all of the different ethnic and religious differences in the country. There's never been a secession movement in the country. There's never been that any portion of Afghanistan wanted to be associated with anywhere else. And I think that's an important point. They have, they are a nation. They have a feeling of nationhood. What we did in the last 20 years is that we recreated Afghanistan in a way which I think, you know, I've had an experience with Afghanistan which goes back more than 50 years, personal experience with Afghanistan. And it's, we did something in those 20 years which was worthwhile. We didn't remake the country. That was not, and we didn't necessarily give them the best political system for the country, and all that's true. But we did manage to create human capital there, which Afghanistan has never seen. Educated young people with investment in the country. These are, in a way, a product of what we have done. Now, this, in a sense, is more than simply going in and, you know, handling somebody else's problems. We made it our problem. And we made it because we realized that after we went in to get rid of Al-Qaeda and Taliban as well, what we realized is that if we simply walked out, then those very groups were going to come right back. So we had to, in a way, stabilize the situation. And we got drawn in more and more. But let's not minimize what we did. We increased the life expectancy by 20 years. We provided education, which was just a shadow of an educational system when we got there. I was in Kabul in 1997, after they had just taken over the city, and it was a graveyard. It was an absolute graveyard. There was no one to be seen. Never in the week that I was there in Kabul and Jalalabad, and it was a dangerous place to be. All during this time, I never saw a woman on the street. Never. Okay.
Well, let me ask you.
Some elderly women who were begging. So we did do something. One more thing. Yeah. Let's not totally denigrate the Afghan military. The leadership let them down, and that's all true. And there's corruption, absolutely true. But remember that the foot soldiers for the National Security Forces suffered great casualties. Yes, some ran away, some deserted, some sold their equipment, but thousands died. They stood up and died for this country. So we have to be careful that although we take care of our interests, we're not indifferent to Afghan interests, because that kind of commitment is something really that we don't walk away for as Americans. We've had responsibility as a great power, and we have to recognize what comes with that.
Well, and we only have about a minute left in our conversation, I'm afraid to say, but I want to ask you mentioned the Taliban control before they were best known as harboring Al-Qaeda. There was a lot of news coverage here in the States about the human rights disaster, especially for women, but also the cultural heritage of Afghanistan was being destroyed, the Buddhist statues, people might remember that. Do you think, it just briefly, that is that where Afghanistan is heading again, back to that sort of Islamic authoritarian, however you want to say it, regime?
Well, it will certainly be a repressive regime. What liberties it allows to women, very doubtful that it's different than it was in the 1990s. Will they be more liberal in other aspects with as far as media and journalists? Because freedom of expression really just blossomed in the country. Will they be more Will they be more accommodating to minorities? We don't know fully. The signs so far are mixed, but they may be simply, after all, this is simply the very beginning of that process. We have to see what it looks like weeks and months and years from now. But the prognosis here can't be bright given what the history has been.
Marvin G. Weinbaum is director of Afghanistan and Pakistan Studies at the Middle East Institute in Washington. He was an analyst in the U.S. Department of State's Bureau of Intelligence and Research on Pakistan and Afghanistan in the late 90s, early 2000s. He's also an emeritus professor of political science from the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Marvin, thank you for your time and sharing your views with us today on the 21st.
You're very welcome.
Coming up after a short break, we're going to continue our views overseas from Illinois with a conversation about Haiti with a relief organization. As you know, there was an earthquake there this past weekend. It comes a month after the assassination of their president. We're going to be talking with a relief organization based in Rockford. That's coming up after a short break. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us.